Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, used EV sales are surging. The Hyundai Kona gets new discounts and BYD's new plug-in hybrid pickup truck. Plus, stay tuned because later in the show, I'll tell you about the massive solar investment the US made yesterday to mark Earth Day. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you are in the world, welcome back to EV News Daily. This is your trusted source of EV information for Tuesday, 23rd of April. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We're live at 5 p.m. UK. That's midday Eastern. Patreon supporters get the episodes as soon as they're ready and ad-free. Be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. Let's start in Canada, and Honda plans a multi-billion dollar EV production plant poised to announce significant investment in EV manufacturing in Ontario, according to government sources. The deal includes establishing new facilities for processing cathode active materials, constructive batteries, and assembling EVs themselves. The formal announcement is set to hit Thursday in Alliston, Ontario. Details regarding the level of government financial support, for instance, for the initiative, we think could well be announced during the announcement as well. I'll keep you updated when we get some official info. Now let's talk Opel / Vauxhall and the Grandland, a 435-mile electric model. The Vauxhall Grandland, as we would call it, Opel on mainland Europe, has been redesigned for its second generation. It now sits on the STLA Medium platform from parent company Stellantis. The change has increased its dimensions. It's now about 6 inches longer, 173 millimetres longer. It is 31 millimetres taller and 64 millimetres wider than its previous iteration. The Grandland Electric's top model will have a 98 kilowatt hour battery that is shared with the new sister car, cousin car, the Peugeot E3008. It provides a maximum range of 435 miles, that is 700 kilometres. It supports rapid charging up to 160 kilowatts peak rate, but we want to have a look at the charge curve, because with an almost 100 kilowatt hour battery, they say it'll go to 80% in 26 minutes. Now, I'd like just to find some clarity on that number, because Autocar magazine here in the UK described it as 0 to 80% in 26 minutes. That's certainly, almost certainly not true, I would speculate. For the Peugeot numbers, for its sister car, they gave it to 20 to 80% in 26 minutes, which is frustrating. I wish car makers wouldn't do this. The industry standard is 10 to 80. If you're doing anything else apart from 10 to 80, you're fudging the numbers. Some would say you're trying to hide something as well, or just, you know, flatter the numbers. It's all you're trying to do is just to give a better number that's under 30 minutes. And so I haven't got the 10 to 80% number. Wasn't in the press release. Can't get hold of those details. I'll carry on chasing it up. The charge curve is all important, of course. But still, look, even if it's around half an hour to get an 80% charge on a 100 kilowatt hour battery, that's still very good. There is a smaller battery variant, of course, in case you were wondering. That is 73 kilowatt hours. That gives 326 miles. That is 525 kilometers, as opposed to the 435 miles of the larger battery. So the smaller battery also found in the Peugeot E3008, and the Grandland retains its 400 volt architecture, typical, you would say, for this class and this price point as well, you'd have to say, to balance cost and performance as well. Plenty of those 400 volt components are going to be available as part of the platform as well, to go 800 volts or around that 900 volts, which is Lucid, for instance, is increasingly, as you go to those components, more expensive, which doesn't fit in with the kind of market that a Peugeot, an Opel, a Vauxhall are going for. Inside the Grandland Electric, fully digital cockpit with a 16-inch touchscreen and a head-up display, and essential functions, they point out, are remaining with physical buttons. The introduction of the Grandland Electric marks the completion of Vauxhall's rollout of EV options across their model range. The announcement follows the recent introduction of the Frontera. That's the crossover, and that's going to replace the Crossland. Next up, let's talk the Hyundai. Actually, a couple of stories from Hyundai and Kia. The first one is all about the Hyundai Kona in the US, now dropping to a starting price of $26,550 with a brand new incentive package. Hyundai currently offering a $7,500 discount on all trims of the Kona, at least until the end of April. Well, I'd like to see if that gets extended, possibly. But it brings the starting price down to $26,550. Now, that price, you're not far from a Nissan Leaf, so why would you get this one well, you would have a thermally managed battery with liquid cooling. You wouldn't have to worry about CHAdeMO. You would, of course, have a kind of a crossover shape, which is a little more popular in the market right now. The Kona Electric SE model is just $1,065 above the Nissan Leaf when tax credits are all considered, and I would say that's a pretty good deal over and above the Leaf. Well, the Kona Electric might be more appealing, but let's look at the different specs. I'll give you the base and the top, and there is a medium spec as well. So the base model to get into a Kona in the US is $26,550 with this new incentive. And that is for the smaller battery, though. So 48.6 kilowatt hours usable. Estimated range on that 200 miles. That's 322 kilometers. And that's for the SE trim, 26,550. Go all the way to the top of the market, and it's 34,920. Now, I owned a, what's it called over here? Ultimate is our word. Ultimate trim, which was the top Kona. We had it for a year. Lost a lot of money on that vehicle because we had it through the time when EVs were going through depreciation. But still, look, love that vehicle. Heated seats, cooled seats. The app is vastly improved. We liked it. It was just a little bit too small. This was we had the second generation. And the version I've got on screen for my YouTube viewers is sort of the third spec, if you like, the third design of that, which is physically bigger, by the way. It just wasn't big enough for we've got two young kiddos and stuff, and you know, push chairs and seats and all that, and all the things that come with small children. Top end trim in the US, though, it's called the Limited Trim. This is 34,920, 64.8 kilowatt hour. Battery and 261 miles estimated. That is 420 kilometers. But, you know, from someone who's had a Kona, by the way, and mine didn't have a heat pump, I would say that in the summer, in good weather, many times I would get in on a full charge and it would, you know, read 320, 325 miles estimated, well over 300 mile vehicle. And depending on how you drove it, if you weren't up at 75 miles an hour, then you're going to be getting in the late fours in terms of 4 miles per kilowatt hour. Drive it around town or in good weather and just drive it sensibly. And I was getting 5 point something miles per kilowatt hour. The Kona is really efficient vehicle. By the way, in the US, leasing it might make more sense with a promotional lease offer at the minute to get into the base trim, smaller battery. If you don't need to do tons of miles, and yeah, this vehicle won't charge particularly quickly, under 100 kilowatts peak speed, but still, if you road trip occasionally and you're going to be stopping anyway, then a lot, you know, sometimes peak charge rates get overblown unless you're doing lots of miles or you don't want to stop for very long. But this has got a lease price to get into of $169 a month over 2 years with $2,000 due at signing. But look, that's $6,000 over that 2 year lease period. If you want to, you know, sort of amortize your cost over onto a monthly cost of that, and you might think, well, that's what I'm willing to pay for effectively a lease or a rental of a vehicle, then that's a very, very good car to get into. I can highly recommend it. Owned one personally. And from sister company Kia, there's a reason why the South Koreans are gaining market share in North America right now, because they're making really good vehicles and they're pricing them very well. The EV9 is next in the news, and this report coming in from Automotive News yesterday pointing out that the $7,500 discount that they are offering, Kia of America, $7,500 discount on the EV9 is now in place to boost sales and align it really with its competing vehicles. The discount mirrors the federal tax credit, which this vehicle doesn't get. So they're just adding exactly the same amount. Effectively, the manufacturer is footing the tax credit bill of $7,500. The EV9 doesn't qualify as it's imported from Korea. With the incentive, the starting price of the EV9 drops from $56,225 to $48,725, less than $50,000, $48,725, and that includes shipping. Well, this price adjustment makes the EV9 competitively priced and comparably priced to something like Kia's popular Telluride model. Kia is also providing special financing options for the EV9 with special interest rates starting down at 0% interest, also some at 299 as well, over periods of up to 72 months financing. The financial incentives, including the discount and the special financing rates, are not combinable, but they are available in all 50 states. I'll pop some pictures online for our YouTube viewers. If you're listening to the audio version of the show, by the way, and you want to subscribe to the YouTube channel? Well, you can, because it's free, obviously, to hit subscribe. And maybe you're watching this and you're not yet subscribed. Then I'll pop some pictures online just as a reminder that the EV9 is going to be so appealing for so many families that need that three rows, that need the space, that need a vehicle of this size. And I've got to admit, we don't need a vehicle of this size. But, you know, when you've got kiddos, then sometimes the more space, the better. And starting under 50 grand for this, yes, okay, for the smaller battery, yes, for the low trim, but 48,725 to get into this vehicle, I think just opens up that conversation with so many more dealers and salespeople. And then maybe somebody might do a bit of a stretch and maybe go for a bigger battery or go for a different spec. But either way, more great incentives from the Koreans. Well, BYD and Tesla might be slugging it out for the honours in terms of the number one EV maker in the world. But whilst Tesla have their pickup on the market, BYD are now bringing their pickup to the market, and it now has a name. What we are now looking at and hearing about is called the BYD Shark. And this is a plug-in hybrid to begin with. No word on this will be a fully electric vehicle, but now officially naming this the Shark, introduced at the forthcoming Beijing Motor Show. And certainly from the front, with the lights on, in terms of sort of silhouette-wise and the light pattern, not looking a million miles away with that light bar across the front from the Ford F-150 Lightning. Well, until now, we'd seen pictures of this vehicle covered in camo, and now that we know the vehicle is called the Shark, some of the patterns on the camouflage make sense of why it's now called the Shark, with shark fins and what have you. But either way, it's a double cab, and so very useful to carry, you'd say five adults by the look of it, possibly more. I don't think it'd be a three row up front, probably a two row up front, you would think. But then, you know, a smaller bed at the back. But the Shark will feature a new plug-in hybrid powertrain called Dual Mode Off-Road. The powertrain's technical specifications haven't been disclosed. We might find out more details soon. But we know it's going to be four-wheel drive to rival things like the Toyota Hilux. BYD's existing plug-in hybrid system, if they were to pluck it from another vehicle, would be something like a 1.5-litre petrol engine and a 200-horsepower electric motor. So loads of electric power, 20-kilowatt-hour battery pack, so loads of electric miles as well. Uncertain whether there'll be a fully electric version of the Shark, but even as a plug-in hybrid, it would be up against something like the Ford Ranger. Now, we get the Ford Ranger before the end of this year. Plug-in hybrid version of the Ranger with Pro Power on board, and that looks like a very, very interesting vehicle if you need a pickup truck. And of course, we don't get electric pickups over here. You can import them if you had the money and you want to drive a left-hand drive vehicle. And I've been in an F-150 Lightning and a Rivian R1T here in the UK. But these would be right-hand drive vehicles. Ford Ranger launching before the end of the year, and BYD Shark launching before the end of the year, with some, you would think, some proper truck chops being four-wheel drive. All right, let's move on to one of our headline stories today, and that is used EV interest is growing. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, prices are coming down with electric vehicles in the used market. Interest is soaring. And one of the reasons why I just don't get involved after doing over 2,000 episodes of this podcast over the last however many years, my interest in fighting those news articles, correcting them online, whatever will be, the world's going electric now. We're past the point of no return. The momentum is there. But for how many years, if you're new to EVs, so good to have you along, by the way, if you're researching and you're going to buy a car. But if you've been into EVs and an enthusiast like myself for a long period of time, how long did we have to listen to so many media reports and your crazy uncle on Facebook saying, oh, well, I'll buy an EV when they're getting cheaper. They're far too expensive. And I sympathize with that because there was some validity in that point. Now that EV used prices are coming down, sometimes even cheaper than the combustion version that is their equivalent, now all the headlines are, well, the EV market is cratering, prices are crashing. And there comes to a point where I'm like, I'm not going to fight this because you're all idiots. And so let's just get on with talking about great electric vehicles and getting them in your driveway at a great price. And yeah, EV prices have come down a lot in the last 18 months as the supply and demand balance has largely fixed itself. But it's amazing how that maybe they're going for clicks or something. I don't know what these websites, these news organizations are into, or maybe there's an anti-EV agenda. I don't care anymore. But because EVs are coming, like it or not, you can kick and scream and fight them, but you won't stop them. And now some more data points coming out today, this time from CarMax, the largest used car retailer in the US, sharing new insights on consumer trends in the used EV space based on data from September 23 to February 24. Searches for all electric vehicles on CarMax was up 176%. 7% from January 21 to February 2024. So what are the most popular vehicles? Well, the Tesla Model 3, Tesla Model Y, and Nissan Leaf were the most searched for EV models, at least on CarMax. Those were the top sellers, the most common vehicles traded in for an EV at CarMax. Let's find out. Well, it was the Ford F-150, combustion version, of course, and the Honda Accord, the most common vehicles traded in. And we've known for a long time, Tesla have often talked about their sort of conquest customers and what people have traded in. And I think over the years, I recall Tesla talking about Hondas and Accords and, you know, Toyotas, Camrys always being traded in. And that's a whole different segment and price point from what Model 3s traditionally were, more expensive. That was before all the Tesla discounting and things like that. So we know people come from sometimes a lower, if you want to use that word, lower segment and make the, it was often called the Tesla stretch or the EV stretch, to get into one of these, you know, highly interesting vehicles if you like to be slightly ahead of the curve. Well, you won't be surprised to hear that it was California continuing to dominate the EV sales in the used market. States on the East Coast like Massachusetts, New York and Maryland also seeing a big uptick in EV purchases. The EVP at CarMax of Chief Innovation and Strategy is Jim Liske. And got a quote from him, and he says, and I quote, "Our data analysis confirmed that consumers are still very interested in EVs and that sales were increasingly trending beyond the West Coast," according to Mr. Liske. He goes on to say, "The availability of new models coupled with recent price cuts on new EVs may have contributed to ongoing interest from consumers considering making the switch from gas to electric." And yes, that's the whole deal that's happened over here as well. We're in the UK, a lot of our EVs are bought fleet just because of the tax incentives. And fleets tend to be on 2-3-4 year deals. And so all these Teslas that were on fleet deals 2-3-4 years ago have in some way kind of flooded the market, the used EV market. And that presents a wonderful buying opportunity if you're buying used EVs, as I tend to always buy used EVs myself, I should say, apart from one Renault Zoe that we had from Will, a DSG, that was new, that little blue one with the 44 kilowatt hour battery. Anyway, that's any new EV that we've owned. Otherwise, always used. And that's a great buying opportunity for you as well if you're looking to get into an electric vehicle. So whatever, I mean, they can make this into a negative headline if they want to, which I don't understand. It means that you and I can buy cheaper EVs. That's a good thing. All right, let's move on and talk Mazda now and the CX-80, which is their top-of-the-range large three-row model, now coming in a plug-in hybrid form. Now, look, let's be honest, Mazda haven't covered themselves in glory with full electric vehicles, have they, with the MX-30. It didn't go very far. It didn't charge very fast. Very stylish, actually, by the way. I love the way that the MX-30 looked inside. It was very interesting. If you owned one, hopefully you enjoyed that vehicle. You probably didn't buy it to do too many road trips because it didn't charge very well. DC fast charge very quickly. And in the US had 100 miles EPA range. And then Mazda scratched their head and went, why is nobody buying this? Well, okay. So let's give them another shot, and this time with plug-in hybrids. And maybe you need a large family vehicle like this. The CX-80 plug-in hybrid model has been introduced now to the European market, making its debut as the most expensive vehicle in their lineup. It is a very large three-row family vehicle. We've talked about the Kia EV9 already. This would surely be a competitor. Following the release of the CX-60 plug-in hybrid, those two new models introduced for Europe. Yes, a large vehicle. It's almost 5 meters in length, and it's got a 3 meter wheelbase, substantially larger than the CX-60. The CX-80, it comes in a three-row layout with that third row capable of folding completely flat. Buyers can choose between three configurations for the second row, including two separate captain's chairs with an optional center console or a pass-through to the third row. But you're wondering about its EV chops, aren't you? Yes, I was. It has purely electric driving range of 37 miles or 60 kilometers. So again, they've not gone for the biggest battery in this. But I think, look, the car looks very cool, very stylish, up there in Lexus territory. Like I say, Kia EV9 territory. I think it looks maybe a bit Genesis-y as well. And that's not a bad thing because the Genesis cars are not a million miles away from being a bit Bentley looking. I'm not comparing a Mazda to a Bentley, by the way. I'm aware where that conversation just went. But this is now available in Europe. All right, let's talk trucking now. And the megawatt charging standard. There's going to be a special podcast, if not this weekend, at some point soon, because I want to get my head around the megawatt charging standard and the Charin standardization of that. Somebody reached out to me recently, and I need to get in contact with them, actually, and to say they've said, hey, let me explain where we are with it. So thank you to that person who I won't mention. Mercedes-Benz trucks have showcased the charging capabilities of their eActros 600, and that is a charge rate in the megawatt charging range. That's a new standard in electric truck charging. So this press release from Mercedes-Benz is showing off their new truck. And the picture that we have here of the charging at 1,001.1 kilowatts. That is a true megawatt charging, a new standard there, demonstrating how it's probably ahead of some of its competitors like the MAN e-truck, which was shown recently at 700 kilowatts, wasn't it, at that prototype station. So all we have is a screenshot. That's it. But then we see it's 1,001 kilowatts. The screenshot shows that it had put 10.5 kilowatt hours in. So it's a new charging session, 800 volts and 1,242 amps. So they are juicing that thing. This test was done on Friday, April 12th, and it's a great screenshot to have, but we would like a little more. But yeah, the megawatt charging standard, which should be ratified, should be a standard in 2025, means that then the truck manufacturers can get on with making the vehicles with this connector, knowing that this is a charging standard. There's no doubt, I think it's 2025, it should maybe even be before the end of this year happen. The eActros 600 is slated for series production by the end of this year, and it will probably come with a CCS connector, but will be pre-installed with equipment that allows the swapping over to the MCS plug, which I'll put a picture on screen for our YouTube viewers. It's a big daddy of a plug, by the way. And I have tried this out. I have got some experience with this. And yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's a workout. It's not just a slightly bigger CCS plug, or the cable's not slightly bigger. It was, so the one I used was certainly, you know, properly, I wouldn't describe it as overly heavy. It was usable. I'm not describing it as unusable, but a very different experience. But, you know, you've got to keep that cool. A lot of juice going into these trucks. From the start of production, the eActros 600 will come out with the CCS 2 plug, at least over here. So they'll use 400 kilowatts charge speed for those commercial vehicles, which is, you know, the norm in the industry before going up to a megawatt. Let's talk batteries for a moment, and AESC, the Japanese manufacturer of batteries, has announced an additional spend for their South Carolina gigafactory. This is an additional $1.5 billion investment on top of their existing investment for the Florence County, South Carolina battery plant. Total investment is now $3.12 billion US dollars. The expansion creates 1,080 new jobs, so that is 2,700 well-paid jobs at this factory that is all part of our future clean, green energy. And it's so good that I think so many of these places around the US, which may or may not have been calling out for jobs like this, just get this huge amount of investment, all thanks to our move to electric vehicles. The factory initially set up with a $810 million investment announced back in December 2022 is designed to produce 30 gigawatt hours of battery capacity annually. The output is sufficient to make, well, okay, so let's work out the maths. If they're 100 kilowatt hour batteries, that would be 300,000 EVs per year. This destined for BMW, the next generation Neue Klasse BMWs, which are going to have big batteries. So maybe 300,000-400,000 vehicles worth of batteries out of this new plant. That's fantastic news. Now, we don't do too much news on two wheels on this podcast, but Zero Motorcycles is a name that's been around a long time, and I'm delighted to tell you about a new adapter that they've launched for any of our viewers and listeners who enjoy their Zero Motorcycles. A new adapter to use the North American charging standard, J3400. They've called it the Tesla Tap Mini. Let's have a look at it. The Tesla Tap Mini, a new adapter, will mean that you can use Tesla destination chargers, the UMC, the mobile connector, and Tesla wall connector. connectors across North America. Obviously not Tesla superchargers, by the way, in case you're watching this and thinking, wow, even Zero motorcycles get the Tesla adapter. No, and I'll explain why. You can't use the superchargers until you've done a deal with Tesla, because they have to update their end software-wise, then the car makers update their software, their end, and then both cars and charger know that, hey, right, if you're driving a Ford or a Rivian and soon a Polestar and a Volvo, you can plug into a Tesla supercharger, you can DC fast charge that way. This is all about using those Tesla destination chargers that would charge your bike up to 60 amps, about 15 kilowatts of power. It's $260. It's called the Tesla Tap Mini. Interestingly, they've given the Tesla name into the adapter. I'm sure there's no legal issues around that. And you can purchase it right now through the Zero Motorcycles website or any authorized dealerships. And finally, in case you missed it, yesterday was Earth Day, and the Biden administration in the US announced a $7 billion investment into solar energy projects, focusing on enhancing solar power accessibility in disadvantaged communities. And if you haven't got a first-hand experience of solar, for me, getting it was a revelation, because I thought, well, you know, solar would be good. We are in Northern Europe and it's not always sunny here. You know, Great Britain is cloudy for 364 days of the year. And I thought, will it really work? I can't tell you. I know we're on the south coast and we're sort of in the southern England, but still, it's a little bit sunnier here than perhaps in Scotland. But still, getting solar just changed the way that we thought about energy, and actually getting the battery changed it as well. But particularly with two EVs, you know, this time of year, any excess we have, people always say, oh, you're selling it back to the grid. No, we can store or use everything that is excess generation for us. Solar is so good, and it's getting so cheap in terms of adding it to homes or residences. And so this funding now in the US, all part of the $370 billion bipartisan Inflation Reduction Act passed last year, will impact over 900,000 households across the United States. The investment will be managed by the Environmental Protection Agency under the program called Solar for All, targeting low-income areas and underserved communities. Funds will be allocated to a variety of recipients, including states, territories, tribes, municipalities, and non-profit organizations, ensuring a broad distribution of resources. And it's one of the things that I think is such a sensible place to spend money. Having had solar ourselves now, I'm a huge fan of wherever you can put it. If you can stick it on a roof, get two panels, four panels or something up there, bigger is fantastic. But if you can just get some and get into generation and using your generation in nearly all parts of the world, solar is useful and the price to install it just keeps coming down. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Obviously, if you'll be following the Tesla world and the Tesla financial news, they have their earnings call late my time, actually, late Tuesday night. But it's always interesting to have a listen to what Mr. Musk, their CEO, will have to say. But particularly this time, with the move away from the $25,000 so-called Model 2, the entry-level vehicle, and the refocusing on robo-taxis, whether the institutional investors, and even the questions that come as well from the retail investors, the ones that they can submit and vote on, whether they will give the CEO of Tesla a slightly harder time than they have of late, whether he'll brush it off, whether he'll recognize the fact that that they are having some slowdowns, like some of the other car makers as well, or what the tone will be. But we'll cover all of that on tomorrow's podcast. In case you were wondering why there's not been so much Tesla news on today's podcast, it's because we are waiting and anticipating lots more to come out. Well, thank you so much to everyone on Patreon. The Patreon's Legends list is online right now at evnewsdaily.com. I put their full list of names at the bottom of every post because it means so much to me. Thank you so much to every individual and organization that gets the show on the air. Thank you to Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel, Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map, and LeasePlan Electric Moments, providing all the tools and guidance that EV drivers need. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.